Well, good morning and welcome to a new year with new opportunities and new beginnings, new chapters and new joys and new ways that God wants to work in and through our life. If you're new here with us, or maybe you're returning here with us, I want to let you know today you're part of a church family where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect, and with God, we believe anything's possible. And we have a real clear and simple and compelling mission. It's what we give our lives to around this place. And that mission is to see all people take their next step with Jesus. And we believe everyone's got a next step, whether it's a next step to know God or to love people or to make a difference or to grow deeper. If you came here today and maybe it's the first time that you've been to a church in a very long time, you're tuning in today, and this is the first time you've been a part of a church in a very long time, I want to let you know God has the next step for you. If you're here today and you are struggling to trust God in an area of your life, you came in, you're frustrated, you have tremendous sense of anxiety, God has a next step for you. If you're here today and you are a passionate follower of Jesus and you are expectant, you are encouraged, you believe like me that the best is yet to come, I want to let you know God has a next step for you. Everyone has a next step and every step matters. So thank you so much for being a part of Genesis Church. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to two places. I want to invite you to make your way over to Galatians chapter 6 and to John chapter 1. That's Galatians chapter 6 and John chapter 1. And if you are just joining us, we have three clear next steps during the month of January we're asking everyone who calls this place home to take. The first is to be a part of our 21 days of prayer. It started on January the 3rd. It will end on the 24th. We really believe as a church that we want to cultivate greater rhythms and habits and disciplines of prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is coming home to God. When you pray for someone, you are bringing them home to God. It's no secret that we live in a broken world with broken people and broken values and broken systems. And what we need most is the restoration and work of God. And so I invite you to join us in praying. I was reminded last week, looking at this further, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're asking you to be a part of 21 days of prayer. We're asking you to be in a small group or a serve team at some point in time this year. It can be a really small group, like my group has three people, and we meet on Monday, every Monday over Zoom in this season. Whatever you do, be a part of a small group or a serve team at some point in time this year. And last but not least, we ask you to discover your one word. You're entering into a new year, so enter into a new year with a new word. And we really do believe you can have a million words circulating in your mind, but ask God to give you a God word on your heart. Don't just select a word, don't just pick a word, but discover a word. And when you have that word, would you share it with us? Because we want to pray and we want to support you throughout this year. Now, we're in a series through the month of January that we have titled One. And wherever you're at, just clearly and loudly on the count of three, would you just say one with me? One, two, three, one. We want you to get this into your heart throughout this series. One thing can change everything. Haven't you noticed that, by the way? When it comes to a relationship, one relationship can change everything about your life. It can change the way you spend money and where you live and what you end up doing. One thing can change everything. One child, for those of you who are new parents or those of you who have been parents for a while, one child can change everything about your life. It can change when you go to sleep or when you do not sleep. It can change when you go to the restroom. It can change where you spend vacations. One thing can change everything. One job can change everything about your life. It can change the size of your bank account. It can change your friendship networks and the future direction of your life. And I'd also be remiss if I did not say this, and that is one national championship can change everything. Congratulations to the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, roll. I just have to put that in for all of the Alabama fans out there. One thing can change everything. Now, we started this series by looking at what it means to take one day at a time. And then last week, we looked at one word at a time. Next week, we're going to talk about unleashing generosity $1 at a time. But today, I want to focus on leading our life one decision at a time. In 2020, many of us, including me, were overwhelmed with the amount of decisions that faced us. I don't ever want to hear the word pivot again. We were constantly pivoting and adapting. It was a year of having to learn how to be flexible. I heard recently someone talk about running, and they were in their late 50s, and they said they love running, but they've learned that they have to stretch more than ever. And sometimes stretching takes more work than running. And this is what they said, and it really hit me. They said, "Ever since I've been born, I've had to work hard every single day to stay flexible because I lose my flexibility every day." I thought, isn't that true? In my marriage, every day I become less flexible. In my parenting, every day I become less flexible. I have to work hard to be flexible. And we had to work hard in 2020 to be flexible by making decisions. But here was the result. I think for so many of us, we lost the weight, the value, the importance of a decision. That decisions matter. It could be an easy decision, like when are we going to eat? There have been so many research projects that have determined this, and this will really shock you, but scholars have determined that 80% of arguments start because someone hasn't eaten. It can be something easy. It can also be something very major, like how do you navigate through a crisis, and what does it look like to work at home, or what does it look like to restructure your team? No matter if it's an easy decision or a hard decision, it still matters. Decisions matter, and this is why I want to encourage you this year to lead your life one decision at a time. And if you don't write down anything else today, if you don't hear anything else today that I say, I want you to write this down. I want you to take this with you, and that is this. We write the story of our life one decision at a time. We write the story of our life one decision at a time. Every private decision has public implications. Every personal decision has generational implications. And it's our decisions that ultimately determine the direction and the quality of our life. I cannot overstate the power, the value, the implications of our decisions. The health of your marriage tomorrow will depend upon the decisions that you make today. The health of your relationship with your children, your parenting, that's going to be determined by the decisions you make today. When it comes to your finances and your financial future and your financial life, the health of your financial future is determined by the decisions you make today. Our decisions matter. That's why I'm encouraging to lead your life this year, one decision at a time. We write the story of our life one decision at a time. And every decision matters. And I think we see this on display very fully in the life of Martin Luther King Jr. On Monday, our country will pause to recognize his life, his legacy, and his sacrifice. I grew up in the Southeast, but to be honest with you, I don't remember much being told about Martin Luther King Jr. In my circles, it seemed like we hardly ever mentioned his name. And even being a part of a local church, it seemed like that was a flyover. But I want to pause and just say that Martin Luther King Jr.'s life has impacted my life. I mean, over 50 years ago, he was assassinated in 1968. He was a man who refused to accept that hatred, racism, and injustice should have the last word in our life. And he fought against injustice. He fought for racial reconciliation. He fought for men and women to have rights and the dignity of God. And every year I pause and I look through some of the sayings and read through some of his letters. And every time I pick up quotes that I didn't know before. As you read these quotes, you'll see they're connected to the decisions that he made. And here are some of them. Just let these sink in. He says, "The time is always right to do what is right." He says, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter." He says, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." says, let, this is so good, let no man pull you so low as to hate him. And if you can't fly, then run. And if you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep making progress. The story of our lives. The story of our lives are written by the decisions that we make. And when we talk about decisions, it's easy to talk about big decisions. And what happens is we overestimate big decisions and we underestimate small decisions. But the truth is, big decisions are made by the small decisions that we make. And this is a principle in Scripture. And the principle is sowing and reaping. We see this in the letter of Galatians. The Apostle Paul writes this letter. When we turn into the New Testament, it's easy to think that the New Testament writings are in chronological order, but they're not. Most would say that the earliest letter in the New Testament is actually the letter of Galatians. And Paul writes this letter to a church that has become in part prideful, in part buying into the lies that were circulating around them. And this is what he says. I'm just drawing us to one statement, one principle, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Let me just walk through that. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. In other words, one of the really dumb things that smart Christians believe is that they're smarter than God. And so this is theology 101. There is a God and you are not God. You will never be smarter than God. So don't mock God by thinking that somehow or another you see more, you know more than God. And then he says, a man reaps what he sows. Imagine you're driving and you're in an agricultural area and you pull over and you see a farmer who's overlooking his field and you strike up a conversation and you say to him, well, what are you doing? And he says, oh, I'm praying, I'm expecting that this will be such a large harvest of corn. And you say, wow, that's wonderful. And so you planted corn. He said, no, I didn't plant corn. I planted potatoes. Well, what do you mean? You said that you're praying, you're expecting that there will be a harvest of corn. Yeah, absolutely. But you planted potatoes. Yeah, absolutely. We would call that person certifiable crazy. No farmer would do that. Why? Because they know what you plant is what you reap. And this is so important. I want you to think of decisions this way. Every decision you make is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. Every decision you make is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. And we reap what we sow. Every decision we make is like a seed planted in the ground. We reap what we sow. Now, this is good. It can work for us or it can work against us. One decision at a time is how a marriage falls apart. One decision at a time. One selfish decision at a time. Now, on the other hand, one decision at a time is how a marriage grows stronger. One decision of servanthood at a time. One decision at a time is how we get out of shape. One burger at a time, one Diet Coke at a time, one milkshake at a time, one small fry at a time. And as my health coach would say, one decision at a time is how we get healthy. One decision at a time is how we get in significant debt over our head. One charge at a time, one purchase at a time, one Christmas at a time. And as Dave Ramsey would loudly say, one decision at a time is how you get into financial freedom. We write the story of our lives one decision at a time. And our decisions, no matter how small or big they are, I want you to hear this. Our decisions have the potential to impact generations in major ways, in ways that you will never see. Jesus changed the world one day at a time, one person at a time, one decision at a time. He changed the world one day at a time, one person at a time, one decision at a time. We enter into John chapter 1. At this time, Jesus is 30. We know very little about the early years of Jesus, but he's at the age of 30. He's beginning his earthly ministry that lasts for 3 years. And in John chapter 1, we pick up in verse 35. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. Now, this is not John who's writing the gospel according to John. That is John the beloved, John the close disciple. This is talking about John the Baptist. It says, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, I am sure John the Baptist talked often about Jesus. How do I know that? Well, if you keep reading in chapter 3, verse 30, it says, "He must become greater and I must become less." This is what John the Baptist says about Jesus. More of Jesus and less of me. Can you imagine, by the way, if we made decisions that way? I don't have the habit of making decisions that way, and my guess is you probably don't either. I make decisions like, what am I going to get out of this? And how is this going to reveal something about me? And will it even be relevant? And how does this help me get ahead or stay safe or whatever the case may be? What would happen if we made decisions where it was more of Jesus and less of me? Well, that would require humility and sacrifice. It would be a decision to build up when we'd rather break down. It'd be a decision to show grace when we'd rather despise someone. It'd be a decision to love when we'd rather hate. It'd be a decision to give generous grace when we would rather take. It'd be a decision to release our frustrations to God in prayer when we would rather rant on social media or complain with our friendship circles. It'd be a decision to say, look to Jesus rather than look to this news anchor, look to me, or look to some other solution. And this is how John the Baptist was living his life. More of Jesus, less of me. And so it isn't surprising that the people around Jesus, around John, started to follow Jesus. Look at verse 38. Jesus looked around and saw them following. He says, "What do you want?" I think this is such a powerful question. Let me just pause and ask you, what do you want? What do you really want in your life? This goes beneath the surface. It connects to our motives. What do you want? Now we keep reading. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," Jesus says. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him for the rest of the day. I want you to catch this. In the gospel, according to John, the first two words of Jesus are this. What do you want? Come and see. What do you want? Come and see. We keep going in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother, Peter, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Now, I'm sure whenever Andrew finds Peter, Peter has a lot of questions like, "Are you sure? And did you ask him this? And what about this? And did you think about this?" So what does Andrew do? And I want you to see one of the most powerful moments in the entire Bible. It says, "Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas,'" which means Peter. What did he do? He brought him to Jesus. By the way, the world has never been the same again. You may be new to the Bible. You may not know anything about the redemptive story of God, but let me just tell you, it's Peter who becomes the lead disciple. It's Peter who takes the gospel to the Jewish world. It's Peter who church tradition tells us was crucified upside down because he didn't see himself worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. And it all started with one decision. One decision by Andrew to bring Peter to Jesus. One decision by Peter to respond to Jesus. This is how Jesus changed the world. One day at a time, one person at a time, one decision at a time. It's how Jesus works. So let me ask you this question, so important. If there's any question to take with you into your week, if you're in a small group, this is a question to slow down and to ask in your small group. And it's simply this: who's your one? Who is your one? The church is at its best when it has a heartbeat and a mindset to love and invest in one person at a time. So who's your one? Who's the one person this year you're going to be praying for? Who's the one person that you're open to have deeper conversations with? Who's the one person you're asking for God to help you bring that person to meet Jesus? I love that Andrew knew his one. So I give you two challenges. The first challenge is this. Would you make a commitment before God with his help to bring one person in your life to meet Jesus this year? Just one person. Just one person. I moved from Pensacola, Florida over to the Gulf Coast, and I was in the end of middle school, a very awkward stage, at a new school trying to find my locker, and a neighbor who lived on the same street befriended me. He actually let me borrow his locker for the remainder of the year. His name was Jason, and Jason is the first person who asked me if I would come and be a part of a local church that he was a part of. I didn't come to a service, but I did come to play basketball. And I stayed and I played basketball often there. And then I met someone named Don. And Don befriended me. And he asked me to come to a service, even at an evening time period. Just check it out. He talked about how Jesus had changed his life and it wouldn't hurt for me to check it out. And reluctantly, it took a time, but I went. And eventually, I responded to the gospel. My life has never been the same again. I was someone's one. And now, whenever I get the privilege of seeing people come to know Jesus, I'll pick up the phone and I'll reach out to Jason and I'll reach out to Don and I'll share with them and I'll thank them for their investment. Can I tell you, church, you just never know. Less than really 2 years ago, someone who was a part of our church took seriously loving the people in their life, loving where they lived. They worked up the courage to invite a neighbor across the street. They had already had conversations of faith, and it was the month of December, and that neighbor decided to come. They sat on the second row, and they responded to Jesus that Christmas. Eternity changed. Life never the same again. Little did they know that would be the last December they would ever see on this earth. You never know. Jesus is too good. Eternity is too long. You never know. Who is your one? Just one person. Second challenge that I give you is simply this. Would you come home to God and start following Jesus today? I think we have a lot of prodigals who have been outside, sitting in the driveway, standing in the lawn, and yet have not come home to God. And maybe you're tuning in and you don't have a relationship with God. You've never started following Jesus. And that's my challenge to you. Why not now? I heard someone recently describe it this way, and I thought this was so good. They said, when you put on a shirt, it's easy to start buttoning in the middle or maybe at the bottom, but you know that gets everything so disoriented. So how do you button a shirt? Well, you start at the top. You start with the first button, and all the rest seem to fall into place. I think that's the case with our relationship with God. I can't answer all your questions. What I'm inviting you to do is come home to God to get the first thing first, the most important thing in your life, right? And so we write our stories one decision at a time. That's how we write the stories of our life. And the decisions we make today impact the life we live tomorrow. And so this year, will you lead your life one decision at a time? One decision at a time. Will you pray with me? If you're tuning in with us, will you pray with me? I just want to give you space right where you're at to simply pray this prayer. If you do not have a relationship with God, you're a prodigal, and it's been years since you've had really a deepening relationship with God, will you just pray, God, will you help me come home to you today? God, will you help me come home to you today? We pray this prayer. Jesus, I don't know much about you. I don't know much about me, but I'm asking for you to forgive me of my sins, welcome me into your family, and lead me in my life. I give my life over to you in your name. And Jesus, I thank you for everyone who's tuning in, everyone who's gathering with us. And as we approach this year, I celebrate new life and I ask for Holy Spirit empowerment, godly wisdom to make one decision at a time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we finish out today, I want to invite you to recite the Apostles' Creed with me. And this is really a declaration of our faith. It is prayerful and it is worshipful. I'll say the first line and then you say it after me. And let's just do this as an aspect of worshiping God and an aspect of declaring what we believe in. So let's start. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy One Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everyone.